Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 11. I read for you again these words. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved in Christ, the only Savior of the world. Wow. In Bible class this morning, it was mentioned that we've had some long gospel readings. And today we hear another of those memorable chapters. In the last few weeks, we've heard John 3, Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. John 4, Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And last week, John 9, Jesus restoring sight to the man born blind. Today we hear John 11, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And yet, that's not all that Jesus raises, as we shall hear. To begin, Jesus hears a report about his good friend Lazarus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. To which Jesus replies, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, this sounds rather like what Jesus said about the man born blind. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. In both cases, Jesus says that a bad situation is an opportunity for him to do the work of God for the glory of God. So you might think that Jesus would rush off to see Lazarus and heal him of his illness. But he doesn't. Instead, he waits a couple of days. But if Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, why doesn't he go right away? Why doesn't he go immediately and heal the poor guy? Well, it's not long before Jesus tells the disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But then he needs to clarify things when the disciples think that sleep would do him good and lead to healing. Lazarus has died, Jesus says plainly. But he also says that this is not the end of the story. For Jesus says that while Lazarus has died, I go to awaken him. And we're told that this was for the strengthening of the disciples' faith. So, when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. By waiting and not going until Lazarus had already been dead and buried, Jesus is making what he's about to do so much more amazing and astounding. Likewise, he directs Martha to the resurrection. You see, Martha believed in the resurrection of the dead. She tells Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Martha was a pious Jew who knew her Bible. And her Bible, the Old Testament, does indeed teach the bodily resurrection of the dead on the last day. Except for the Sadducees, the Jews believed in the resurrection. But Jesus wants to draw her to a deeper faith, even as he raises her hopes. He wants her to realize that the resurrection is standing right in front of her in the person of Christ himself. He tells her, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, I can make the resurrection happen right here, right now. I can bring the resurrection ahead of time. I am the resurrection and the life. And then he says, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." What a beautiful and yet mysterious sentence this is. It sounds like Jesus is saying two opposite things. On the one hand, the believer dies. On the other hand, the believer will never die. How can this be? Well, it's like this. You and I will die. Our heart will stop beating. Our lungs will stop breathing. We will die. And yet, we who believe in Christ will live. We will never die a permanent, eternal death. We will not perish. The physical death of Christians will not put an end to the eternal life that Jesus gives. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then Jesus adds a question of Martha and of us. Do you believe this? Martha answers with the voice of faith, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Jesus has raised Martha's faith to make this connection, because Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, come into the world. He is the power to give life to the dead, even now. Which is what Jesus does next as he raises Lazarus. Jesus goes to the tomb and speaks his powerful, life-giving word, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus' word is personal, and it has that kind of power. Jesus has life in himself, and he has the power to give life by his mighty word. "Lazarus, come out." And he comes out. Jesus restores Lazarus to life. Or he restores life to Lazarus. Beloved, this is a preview of what our Lord will do on the day when he returns. Christ will speak the word and call our dead bodies from the grave. The dead in Christ will rise. And we will rise with glorified, perfectly restored bodies, no longer subject to disease and death. St. Paul writes, "We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." To demonstrate this ahead of time, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus shows forth, in a remarkable way, the bodily resurrection of the dead that he will bring about by his life-giving word, on the last day. Lazarus, come out. Now, many of those who witnessed this miracle believed in Jesus. But there were some who go and report this to Jesus' enemies in the Sanhedrin. Of course, this news raises the hackles of the Pharisees, and they step up their plans to get rid of him. Caiaphas, the high priest, tells the council, "It is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." What Caiaphas meant was, if we kill Jesus, then the Romans won't come in and squash our nation and take away our power. But God was using Caiaphas to speak as an unwitting prophet. He prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation and not for the nation only. Yes, Jesus would die for the whole world. By his sacrificial death on our behalf, Jesus saves us all from our sins and from eternal death. The evil plans of the Sanhedrin will have wonderful results. By the atoning death of Christ on the cross, our slate is wiped clean. Our sins are forgiven. We are at peace with God, and the grave will not hold us. Even as the grave would not hold Jesus himself. The raising of Lazarus foreshadows Christ's own resurrection soon thereafter, which in turn is the first fruits of the resurrection that you and I experience on the last day. We who believe in Christ, who trust in him for our salvation, we who are baptized into Christ will share in Christ's resurrection. Death will not hold us. In this account of the raising of Lazarus, Jesus raises our sights from death and despair to life and rejoicing. By his almighty word, he forgives our sins and raises us to life with him now and forever. One day, he will call us forth from the grave and give us a glorious life with him. Well, there will be no more pain, illness, disease, suffering, or tears. He raises our eyes heavenward so that we look forward to what our Lord will do when he returns. And this hope will not disappoint us, for it is as good and as sure as Christ's own resurrection. This hope enlivens our hearts and gives us joy. We live life now with a lively, living hope, even in the midst of sorrows and setbacks, knowing that our future is secure in Christ. Death is not the end for those who trust in Christ. The one who raised Lazarus will most certainly raise us as well. To him be all the glory now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.